Good morning and welcome back, everyone. It is Friday, November 6th. I'm your host, Simran Sandhu, and I'm excited to have you join us on today's episode of the 5-Minute Drill, brought to you by Up5 Media. Well, everyone, it seems this election might not come to a close for quite some time, leaving many anxious on both sides of the aisle. Yesterday, more votes trickled in from the last of the contested states, including Nevada, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. Most votes should finish coming in today, with the exception of Nevada and North Carolina, who will take until the 10th and 12th of November, respectively, for varying reasons. As of right now, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada end the week with a Biden lead, while North Carolina and Pennsylvania leave Trump ahead for the time being. Overall, total electoral votes as of now stand at 264 for Biden and 214 votes for Trump, according to the Associated Press. As for our second story this morning, Uber Technologies recently released their Q3 report, and unfortunately, the company faced yet another quarter of losses. The company experienced a 53% decline in gross bookings for rides, which is still an improvement compared to the company's 75% decline in the second quarter. Uber's revenue was also down 18% to just $3.1 billion, bringing their adjusted loss to $625 million. One area where the company did grow was in food delivery, as their division known as Uber Eats had a 23% increase in growth from last quarter, but it still wasn't enough to offset losses. Continuing on, our third story today looks at an earnings report from General Motors, which is a little more uplifting. GM ended their Q3 with a total profit of $4 billion as the company's net income surged 74% relative to the same time last year. That being said, last year's third quarter did endure a 40-day strike from workers, which did significantly impact earnings. GM's adjusted pre-tax profit was $5.2 billion, which beat analyst expectations, and according to the Wall Street Journal, this can be credited to two key things. One, there has been a surprising uptick in the demand for vehicles, and two, the company has been effective in reducing costs in many areas of the business. Moving forward, executives believe that Q4 earnings will be lower, given that growth is typically lower in the fourth quarter, and because of the coronavirus spiking in the Midwest, which is where the company's manufacturing base is located. Now for our fourth story today, the Disney-owned cable company, ESPN, has announced that it will be laying off and attritioning 10% of their workforce, which will impact more than 500 current employees. Although you might expect a decision like this to be a response to financial losses, Disney reported that ESPN had increased profitability in its third quarter compared to this time last year. More impressively, the company also reported immense success online, as their ESPN Plus subscriber count increased to over 8.5 million members. So why exactly is the company laying off workers? Well, according to the president of ESPN, Disney is reorganizing their current infrastructure for digital streaming so they can better accommodate all of their online streaming services. Now, interestingly, this plan was built out prior to the pandemic, but given the current landscape, they've decided to shorten their timeline. The workers that are most likely going to be impacted by the move will fall under their gaming or broadcasting division. Now, for our fifth and final story today, U.S. government and drug maker officials are planning to create a mobile phone system which will track all severe side effects once a COVID-19 vaccine is available. The system, called VSafe, would be created by the CDC and would then text those who have received a vaccine. Those individuals would then be directed to a survey which will have them report any possible COVID symptoms they might be experiencing. The surveys would be sent out every day for the first week and then once a week for the following 6 weeks, but here's what's interesting. Normally, researchers developing a vaccine would need 6 months worth of safety testing before its release, but for COVID, the FDA only requires 2 months. Moving ahead, when a vaccine is finally ready for use, the first to receive it will be frontline workers, including those in transportation, food supply, healthcare, and other essential businesses. Anyways, folks, that wraps up today's episode. I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend, and we look forward to catching you bright and early Monday morning as we continue our journey to redefine how you experience news.